YouTube. I've been haunted by a sound most of my life. I can't shake it. It's awful. And I don't know what to do about it. I worked at a pizzeria in the early 2000s when I was in college. And for the most part, I would just be doing deliveries, the occasional cleanup, run a pie out to a table, that sort of thing. One day, though, I had to prep the stations for like refills of like cheeses, meats, that sort of thing. But we also did sub sandwiches. And one of those tubs that needed to be filled was for a tub full of mayonnaise. And I hate mayonnaise. So it's it's awful. It's the worst thing completely ever. If you've ever been to like a Sam's Club or Costco or like a restaurant depot, think about like one of those industrial size things of like Hellman's. And we had those in the refrigerator. We needed to fill those up. Yeah. So they were huge. They were probably like 18 inches tall. And they had this like really big industrial grade spatula that you would use to fill up everything. I like just figured I would try and go in and like scoop to get as much of this, like to speed through this piece. So I'm thinking that like, if I put it on the side and try and like lift, I can get the full like diameter of this up and like do two big chunks. That's my plan. I put the spatula in and it makes the most like heinous sucking sound. Like it starts to like pull the spatula out of my hand. Like I can't hang on to it at this point. Like, and it starts to go way down in, and it was not as big as this deal. So like my hand is now going into the mayonnaise. And as my hand started to ball up and push through this top portion of the industrial tub of mayonnaise, it like wrapped around my hand and was like farting the whole time it was doing it. Like I was basically making this like a big giant thing of Nickelodeon Gak. And then I had to try and pull my arm out, and it's doing like a reverse like lip flap. It was, and I'm like gagging because I can't stand this. I'm like sick from what was going on with it.
It's, it reminds me of like what's the substance? Is it like the non-Newtonian fluid where it's like if you the harder you hit it, the more solid it becomes. If you just like,
well,
I could just see mayonnaise being like that. Industrial vats of mayonnaise are basically non-Newtonian.
I think that jar of mayonnaise tried to eat you.
Well, for those of you who are tuning in, that's why we call these a deep dive. That's the origin of the deep dive episode. My hand took a deep dive into a mayo mimic. Oh my God. We do have a deep dive tonight, but I'm not going to tell you all what it is, but I will tell you it is worth your time if you will hang out with us as we tell you about a few video games that we've been playing.
He won't even tell us what it is.
No, I'm not going to. On the back half of this episode, we will be taking a look at something that has been controversial at times, but widely loved in others. And it will be worth a discussion to learn from one another on what we used to do with this stuff and what we do with it today. So I'm looking forward to getting into it with Johnny and Chase on that. Deep dives, if you are new, are kind of a dealer's choice where one of us picks a topic. It can be a show and tell. It can be more of a retrospective on a game or a part of the industry, such as, you know, midnight launches. It could be a thesis on Bungie. But we do these
Only half of a thesis on Bungie.
Yes, that's true. Only half. Yeah. But they're absolutely a really unique and fun change of pace for what we typically do. So tonight we'll tell you just about one game each, and then we'll get into that deep dive. Sound good?
Sure.
Cool. It looks like on my notes here that we've got a new game for Johnny and a new game for Bobby. Johnny, what the heck is Chasing the Unseen?
Chasing the Unseen is a new game.
How does Johnny know about Chasing the Unseen?
I saw it on Twitter.
A likely story.
I saw it's on your wish list, Chase.
It is.
It is,
because I saw it on Twitter.
It's a new game from Strange Shift Studio, that I believe is one person. And it is, I'd say it's a platformer puzzle exploration game. with some collecting elements. But you're in this very ethereal, mysterious world that
is full safe? Of all these.
I mean, there's nothing there that's trying.
Is it a chill game, or is there stuff that's like trying to get you while you're climbing?
It's chill, but the world is filled with these giant. At least I've only made it to the second level, Chase. I don't know if you are farther.
I haven't played it, but I have watched some trailers. I would say it's probably more unnerving than anything. It's not that. It's not that you're being attacked or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's just that
timing jumps right and things like that.
Okay. Yeah, and you're climbing like a bunch of Cthulhu looking monsters. So like, you know, you're not chill, but you're also not fighting anything.
Fair. Fair.
It looks great.
Yeah, I saw a trailer for it probably on Twitter and thought it looked awesome.
Yeah. And so far, I've just seen a big old octopus that is just floating around.
Are you climbing it?
You are. So you start out in this floating island that is, the terrain is very deformed and there's sand everywhere. And they kind of guide you where you need to go with these big, almost crystalline looking mushrooms that are growing out of the ground. And checkpoints are just, you know, those piles of rocks that you'll find. Like on trails.
Like people like stack them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have those throughout the world that act as your checkpoint.
Okay.
And everything is all like there's no UI to speak of, but you will get prompts on the screen when you get close to stuff. It's like, hey, press X to save. Or when you reach the first climbable surface, it says hold the right trigger to grab on. And you have a stamina circle that shrinks the longer that you're, you know, exerting yourself. And you're just making your way up this mountain and down into this glowing pit that takes you into, I guess, like a warp room, essentially, that's full of these other flowers. And it looks like there's five or six and then one big one in the middle. So it looks like it'd probably be like a relatively short game. I don't know what the hour count would be. But yeah, you're just exploring. There are little animals running around in each level for you to collect as an incentive to poke your nose around. And
you might. Can I ask really quick about the exploration?
Yeah.
Is this like not only an exploration, but an action? Is it more like Jusant or is it more like a Shadow of the Colossus?
Jusant.
Like okay.
Colossus in that you're climbing these big creatures, but you're not actively doing harm to them.
Okay.
From what I've seen and from what I've seen in trailers and stuff. And yeah, you're this little young boy wearing a blindfold and you're seeking something. It's all very vague.
It seems like a really big vibe looking at some of the stuff for it.
Yeah. And the music that plays, there's, whenever the octopus gets close to you, it picks up a little bit and, it's nice. I've played it for about an hour and 20 minutes, I think. And I think probably halfway through that second level.
Awesome.
How much is it? I guess I was like, if this game was $15, I'd pick it up immediately, but it's more expensive than that, right?
$18.
It's 18? Right. Yeah. That's not bad. That was closer to like
$25. Yeah, that $3 is really going to draw a hard line for you.
Yeah, but it's on sale until the 21st, Chase, so you have a little
time. Okay.
Is it on everything? Steam. Oh, just Steam? Okay. Well, Johnny, I will probably download that tonight and take a look at it.
Cool.
That was Chasing the Unseen. I have been playing a new game. I think we talked about this. I know we talked about it on the monthly preview. I don't know if we talked about it during the Next Fest when it first had a debut. But
I don't think so.
We're going to talk about Summer House. This is made by Friedman. It came out on March 8th. I believe it's only on PC, and it is currently on sale for 20% off, and it will set you back a whopping $3.99. This game is fantastic, y'all. This is the very cool, pixelated, gorgeous pixel art. It's described as a tiny building game about beautiful lived-in houses. No rules or restrictions, just pure creativity. There's no right or wrong. There's no penalization for this. There's really no questing. You first start off in this really beautiful mountainside. It looks kind of like Mount Fuji, and just a beautiful backdrop. and you can pan left or right, and you can freeform build in a two-dimensional setting. There is some parallaxing a little bit with light, kind of like a 2D HD at times, which looks gorgeous. And on the first area, you have three settings for daytime, rainy weather, or nighttime. And this is broken down by, you pick like a wall or an exterior. They have varying degrees of windows, doors, roofing. There are more accents and little like signs and dumpsters and stuff like that that you can add around the building. And there is some light landscaping just by placing trees and bushes and shrubs. And it's unlike anything I've really played. Like, I think this is like, what if Wes Anderson made like a SimCity or something to that degree?
I was going to say the framing,
yeah,
and everything, it's, and just the way everything is just so. It's, you sent me a little clip from it this morning.
Yeah, that's the other cool thing. You can press R on the keyboard at any time, and it does a time-lapse build of what you've done so far. And it uses Control-Z or Command-Z to undo. So you can just use the same input that you would if you needed to undo something that way. There is very simple mechanics. You can do depth on your placement. And then you can also scale up or down from where you're building with it, which is really handy. And you can flip something. So like I had a flag that I wanted to put on something that was kind of clipping in a weird way, but I just flipped it and it hit the wind that was blowing. It had a gentle little sway. But it's little detailed things that like I've never really thought about when building. Like I was building my first what was going to be a house that became a restaurant when I kind of went through and saw, oh, there's some neat signs. So I turned it into this cafe. But on the left of it, it had kind of started as like maybe somebody does live here and they just run a cafe during the day. So I built out clotheslines to the left and I had like their clothes drying, which looked really cool outside of it. And then I put like a little bulletin board that I thought could be like weekly events, like a musician or something that would be off to the right, because I built out a patio that had tables and chairs. And it just felt like so freeform. Like, I'm not saying I'm a jazz musician, but there was just like this kind of reactive, like, well, oh, okay, well, the neighbor then could be a butcher shop. And like, I started to kind of build out this community and I just felt so like unrestricted, which was something that you typically feel, okay, you have to use a grid. You have to build this way. You need these resources to do it. Okay, you need to make sure that this person's content that will want to move into this. This was just like, no, you're building like a miniature community. And it's a very quaint, cool, kick-ass. Like I built a treehouse. I built like a little bodega. Like I did all kinds of very niche things for this community that I'm building out, but it all makes sense. Like it's very much, hey, this is a very self-reliant community. They don't need to go and get shit. You can get what you need. It's very bespoke. It was cool. I can't say enough good things about just spending time building shit in this game. It's a perfect, perfect palate cleanser between anything you got going on.
Yeah. You know, Bobby, you said there's no right and wrong to the building, but there are unlocks and things in the game, yeah, right? Like if you build in like slightly specific ways or something, you can get.
Yeah, what I made like unlocking? So there's a few different things. They're not, it's again, very much of the thing you're doing. So the first building, I had an orange base and a stone structure, and I wanted an orange roof. And I just picked that one. And when I did an entire roof on it, one of the pieces popped with two birds on it. And now I have a piece that I can place that just has two birds hanging up on the roof if I wanted to have that versus just a static roof. The other one is, in between a few buildings, there was this really cool scenic thing that I didn't want to block too much, but I was like, well, what if I had a payphone here that feels of the time? And what if I put like a vending machine next to it? And then I put a secondary vending machine, and all of a sudden it unlocked one of those vending machines that had an actual person using it that would just kind of hang out by it. And I thought that was really neat. So it's little detailed things. Like it's a remix or a reskin almost of what you already have. And it doesn't tell you, like when you first open the game, you can see all the grayed out unlockables on a tab, but it doesn't tell you what to do to get to them. So, you know, well, they're standing on this type of window balcony that I haven't used yet. So I bet if I use these, it'll unlock it. That's kind of the logic of just going with it. But I also like that you get a little surprise because it does pop up a card. It's like, hey, you unlocked a card, and that's really cool when it happens. But it, like when you do it, you're like, oh, I didn't even think that you would have somebody here. That that makes it feel like you made the right call on laying something together with it, which is neat. There's also a remix button. If you just kind of click off and start to right click, it'll just cycle through things and just give you random stuff. So if you're feeling stuck or looking for inspiration, it'll cycle through all that you got. And then you'll be like, oh, okay, cool. Maybe I do want to put a window here, but I don't like the color of this one. Let me go back to the windows. And if you right click on any of your tooltips, it just opens up everything. So you don't have to scroll through them because it just goes in a cycle through your inventory. It's really fucking cool, y'all. Like, this is such a delight.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the bummer for me when it came to some of the stuff in Animal Crossing, where like on the 3DS one, you could build your house and then you could share it through Street Pass or something, and you could go to an area that would have all the Street Pass houses that you've come in contact with, but it was just rows and rows of houses, and you'd have to go inside to actually see the stuff. You couldn't really like landscape around. And then even in New Horizons, there's like the Happy Home Designer stuff. And yeah, you can go in and you can design not just the house, but you can also design their yards, but they weren't connected to anything. They were all just their own individual islands. So this idea that Summer House has, yeah, I made this cool cafe, but then I also went to build some vending machines right next to it. And then I built a residential house right next to it. So you feel like you're getting kind of a neighborhood feel to yep. that. And it has like a little bit more permanence and tangibility. I think that's really, really cool.
It's super neat. Like, the other thing I can't stress enough is depth. Like, it looks like sometimes there'll be like rocks that are up against the water. I scrolled pieces back far enough, and I was like, oh shit, I can build like a little house back here that like is not really in focus for what we're doing, but has a place.
Yeah, and that free range of movement.
It's, I mean, it's not like all the way back, but yeah, it's really cool. The only thing I wish it had is there's not a photo mode that I can find. So when I took the screenshot that I sent to Johnny here, I'll send it to you really quick while we're chatting here, Chase. Okay. I had to go into Photoshop and use that to remove some of the buttons to get like a clean picture of what I had going on here.
Sure.
And that was no good. And I wish there was a way to export so I sent you the clip. It's an 8-second clip. I wish you could make that like a GIF of the build.
Yeah, that is always a bummer in a photo mode or any game that is trying to be really cinematic, but then they don't let you turn off the UI.
Yep.
That's always lame. Like, one of the things in it's a slightly different problem in Rebirth, but you can take photos. There's even a guy who's wants you to go and take photos, and you can turn off the UI and you can take a photo. But the other thing I don't like is that when they tell you to take a photo in the game, they want you to actually use the photo feature on the controller. Yes. There's not like a take photo in the game.
Yeah, it's so silly.
It does feel weird because like when you do those in Final Fantasy, even if you don't take the photo, you just go into the photo mode and then go right back out. They're like, oh, we assume you did it. You probably took the photo, right? And it's like, no, I didn't. I wanted to take it. There's no prompt to say how you take a fucking photo.
It's so dumb.
Oh, I guess I just do it with the controller.
Yeah. Yeah. So this game's, man. I mean, it's worth every penny. I can see it being on mobile. I think they can make that work. It would probably be fun there. And even hearing you talk earlier, Chase, like, I could easily see this being an Animal Crossing where you're not really doing all the bullshit. You're just building the village this way. That could be really cool.
I don't think your wife games that much on PC, but knowing how much Animal Crossing stuff she likes, do you think she'd be interested in something like this?
Oh, most definitely, because there's no, it's like, go wild. I would put this in front of a child. Like, there's so much that you could do with it. Huh?
You did.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
It's a very, very mature comment.
But anyway, you should check it out. I think both of you would like it. Pretty low effort on PC, Chase. And I would encourage you to check this one out. I think you would have a good time with it, for sure.
I purchased it.
Good.
With four American dollars.
Four American dollars you know, listen, I you could have put three of those towards 15 and got this other game,
You're right.
You know,
I'll probably end up buying that too.
Did you talk about this before? Because I've seen footage of this game.
We talked about it on the March preview.
Yeah, we talked about it on the March preview. I added it into that. And then
I know, but I thought
it was, I'm pretty sure it's on like the Wholesome Direct that happened.
Okay.
And all right. I know so it was like, part of the next.
I know test. I've seen this. And I was like, this looks incredible.
Yeah,
maybe you saw it on Twitter. That's where you find all your games these days.
That's true.
Chase, I don't see anything for you on here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just playing the things that we've been talking about.
Okay.
Final Fantasy, sure, more to that. I guess I've played Unicorn Overlord now that the actual game is out and not just the demo. I played a good chunk of that over the weekend, but I'm trying not to play a lot of it because I really just want to get through Final Fantasy so I can then work on Unicorn. But it's really cool. I'm collecting a lot of characters and finding weapons and looking up some strategy stuff. And I mean, it hasn't been all that difficult. I'm not playing it on a super hard difficulty, but it is just kind of fun to tinker around with and look at class breakdowns and some of that stuff. And I'm really enjoying it. I think it's got some cool ideas when it comes to player choice that you are able to make some decisions on, you know, what your morals are, who you want to bring into your party. And so far it's been really cool. There's some really neat tech that you can do with that game, and it just continues to look gorgeous.
I've had it in my cart on PlayStation. I have the demo download on Switch and on PlayStation. I'm struggling through a game right now. I kind of want to finish it. I kind of don't. And because of that, I felt like, well, if I stop playing it, I can play this and maybe that will be fun. But I'm going to get through the demo and see how I feel after that. I got Dragon's Dogma coming as well. And I kind of told myself I'd wait for a sale, if anything, for this one. But we'll see. I'm very curious.
I mean, you just said you're going through the demo, which is smart. But I would definitely encourage anyone out there that if it does even seem kind of cool to you, that is a extremely long demo. You could put 10, 15, 20 hours just in that demo. And if you like what you see, the rest of the game is more of that. So I would definitely encourage people to try that out. Your progress completely comes over as well.
Oh, that's always handy.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that.
Yep.
Right on. Well, I look forward to hearing some more on that.
Real quick.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, I had a successful run in Balatro, finally.
Hey. Oh,
nice. It's Balatro, but yeah, very cool.
Balatro.
Balatro, Balatro. Yes,
that was the name of our podcast.
It was. It's called a callback, Chase.
Okay.
He saw it on Twitter. And so I am very proud of you. I do have a question. What was the single most successful Joker you had? Just name one that got you through it.
The pants.
Yeah,
pants
are so good. I think the pants might be broken because that's how I beat it.
I had two cards that were triggered by playing two pairs. And then I had another one that gave me, I always got the tarot card or the moon card.
You always got the planet card that was
planet
the
card for my most
of
played
your
hand.
Most played hand, yeah.
And so by the end, I think the pants was like.
Did some you just take? Number. Did you just take my seed? Is that how you beat that game?
No, okay. I've gotten so close so many times, and then just not been able to get past the last two or three blinds.
I mean, I'll mention it again at the end of the podcast, but now that Stadium Brats is over for Chase AK Plays, I just wanted kind of a cool down game, so I played Balatro, and I mean, I was already playing it, but I played it for Chase AK Plays, and I won on my first fucking run on that. Was not expecting to, but it was absolutely, oh, you have the pants Joker, oh, you have the other Joker that when you only play four cards, it bumps you up, and like, well, you know what two pair is? Four cards,
motherfucker. That game's good.
Did you go through the endless stuff afterward?
I didn't.
Okay.
I was like, I'm gonna start a new run right now.
So I went to the endless, just was like, well, I've got this basically unbeatable thing. I'm sure I'll be fine. And then immediately the blinds were so huge, and I went up against a boss blind that said every time you play a hand, it goes down in level. And I went, oh, well, you just fucked me because I only have one hand that's good.
Yep. God. Oh, man.
Bobby. Well, I've got a deep dive prepared for you two. But to get us kind of where I got to with this, back, I guess, late last year, Chase and I made a deal where Chase was wanting to play a video game, and it's a game that was very important to me that announced a physical collector's edition. And I said, that sounds like something I don't need, but want, because I don't have a way to physically play this game, even if I wanted to. And I was like, Chase needs to play that game. What if I have Chase pay for the standard video game price of $60 and then I pay the other amount, whatever it was, to get this stuff? And I was asking myself later on, like, why did you do that? Why did you care about that so much? And that led me to
also, I mean, it's Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
But that's not, it's not, it's still not out yet.
I know. What the hell? I thought that was going
to
be out.
Apparently it's supposed to be end of March for the first batch. And I think I am in the first batch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there has been no shipping update or anything. I literally yesterday, I was looking at my email. I was like, when the fuck is this supposed to get here? And somebody on Reddit was like, oh, on Twitter, they said it would be late March for the first batch. And the other batch, the next batch is Q2. And they'll get there, I guess. I'm like, all right, sure, whatever.
Well, when it does, maybe Johnny will have the game beaten by that point.
Doubtful. I'll beat that game before Johnny does.
But that led me to think, it would be really fun to talk to you two about the collector's editions of video games. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to take a deep dive into collector's editions and check out kind of a wide range of things. We're going to talk a little bit about like where they came from, how they came to be, what the trends were, what they are, what they could become. Talk to you both about some things that you really appreciate or have appreciated in the past.
How many steel books do you guys have?
Yeah, shit like that.
Several battlefields.
I will go ahead and just like give myself some grace here. I'm going to be trying to speak about certain time periods for like when the first collector's edition may be. I don't know if that is 100% accurate, but we're going to do our absolute best to find out. So first and foremost, I think I'd like to kick off with a few fun facts for the both of you, just kind of bring us up to speed on this. I believe that the first recorded collector's edition of a video game was actually The Seventh Guest back in 1993. So this game came at the time with additional content like behind the scenes footage and making of documentaries that was packed in to the CD-ROM that you would get with this. There are some folks out there that try and say it's Myst. So Myst did not launch with a collector's edition. It came later on. So at launch, that was not a thing. But due to the popularity of the video game, they went back and released it and had those things with it. But at launch, The Seventh Guest back in 1993 was the first time that a collector's edition was put out. I didn't know what the cost was, how different it might be with that. But in contrast to that, do either one of you know what the most expensive collector's edition of all time has been?
Oh, man.
It did come with a car. Very specific type of car. It came with a Lamborghini.
Was this Forza?
It was not a Forza. Or
Gran Turismo?
No. Much sillier, if you can imagine it.
It's like a Fast and Furious game. Adjacent, like maybe. Need for Speed.
I don't know why I said Animal Crossing. It's definitely not that.
Damn. Nintendo's really bilking people these days.
Saints Row 4 was.
Okay, sure.
And it was the most expensive collector's edition ever made for Saints Row. It was called the Super Dangerous Wad Wad Edition. It was priced at $1 million, and it included extravagant items like a Lamborghini, a trip to space, plastic surgery, and more. However, this was more of a marketing stunt.
Yeah. Oh, really? No one bought that?
But yeah.
Was the Lamborghini purple, at least?
I think it was, if I'm not mistaken.
Purple and gold.
What are we doing
here?
But I will also call out, there were some editions of other video games that either due to rarity would go up in cost. Like, it would not be uncommon for aftermarket prices on some of these things to just be astronomical. But at launch, the Super Wad Wad edition of Saints Row 4 is the most expensive one there. So before I start to show some of these games, I have them broken out in a few categories here. We're going to look at first, like what's been critically praised. We're going to take a look at some things that have not quite hit the market to reception or like at least praise at that point in time. And then we're going to take a look at digital only and talk a bit about some of those things as we transition into more modern takes on it. So We'll get into some photos. I got like basically for the stream here, we'll take a look at some of the advertising for it. But for the time being, I wanted to ask you all some questions. What motivates you? What's the number one driver to get a collector's edition of a video game?
I mean, it's usually the physical goodies.
The swag, the shit that comes with it.
Yeah.
See, for me, it's the exact opposite. Like, I don't want any of that shit anymore. Like, give me stuff in the game.
Yeah. Now I'm like that because I.
But I'd also prefer that not to happen. Just put the stuff in the game normally.
Yeah. So it has nothing to do with like rarity or exclusivity for you two.
I mean, look, there have been, I got the Halo Reach collector's edition, which came in a big box, and it had journal from Dr.
You're off to a great start.
And you know, other knickknacks and stuff, and you know, it was cool to thumb through once and then put on the shelf and never look at again.
I mean, here, I'll turn on. It's still hard to see, but like there.
I want the Master Chief helmet.
Yeah, that's the Halo 3 Master Chief helmet right there.
We're going to talk about that one here in a little bit.
Yeah, and like that one was cool to just have like, here's a bunch of DVDs that have a bunch of backstory and bonus materials on there. That was really cool. But that's probably the one time that I really splurge for any one of those. Most of the time, I think collector's editions are kind of silly. Like, I've always been a guy, I mean, I joked about how many steelbooks do you own, but I'm a guy who doesn't really care about video game boxes to begin with. So the idea of buying a better video game box
physical media, though,
ridiculous to me. I do like physical media, but it's like I would rather just have a CD booklet with all these discs in it instead of individual game boxes.
I think I've only gotten three collectors. I got the one for Fable 3, and I hated that game so much that I returned it.
Yeah, that's a game.
And then I got the one for BioShock 2, which came with an actual vinyl record.
Yeah, we'll actually be taking a look at that one here in a little bit.
Yeah, I have that. It's in my record cabinet right now.
Very cool. I know you regretted buying Fable 3, which understandably, but have you regretted buying like a collector's edition of a video game or like a digital deluxe or anything like that? Like, have you had any remorse after buying it?
Not usually, no.
Because of like,
I'm getting, right? Like, I know myself well enough now that I can say, okay, I probably won't be mad if like I got the special version of Like a Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because I was like, I know I'm gonna really love this game, and
it was
worth that to me to get that.
I would say I have like a little regret on some of these, like because you think that the thing it's gonna come with is gonna be higher quality than it is.
Yeah,
it's not. Of course, obviously, it's not. They're gonna try to make these things as cheaply as they can. Like I got like the Assassin's Creed 2. One that had like an Ezio statue, and it's just kind of like a plastic thing, and it's
I bought the Pip-Boy edition of Fallout 4.
There you go.
We got that on the list too,
because I was like, I don't need this.
I didn't buy this, but there's like the Call of Duty, I can't remember which Call of Duty it was, but they came with the night vision goggles, but like those were the shittiest night vision goggles ever, because of course like night vision goggles cost fucking money.
That's true. I think
just get it out of a cereal box at that point.
Recently for me, Diablo 4 stands out. Like, I paid a lot of money for a digital one to have early access, and that came with like the first season. It was terrible, so I dropped off of it. But I don't know.
Those are always the ones. I mean, I guess it makes some sense that, ooh, you know, I get the game a week early. That sounds like a nice thing. But like, as soon as that week's over, you just have the same edition everybody else does. And man, you're really... I feel like you're really not getting what you pay for out of that.
Totally. So I guess like when we look at, you kind of mentioned earlier, Chase, like you don't always think that they're worth the extra cost. I think that you're kind of talking about it as well. Like I've bought digital deluxe versions that would have like extra suits or maybe like an exclusive weapon. Like Ubisoft loves to do that shit, but it usually ends up being not really relevant. I think a lot about like the Destiny digital editions I would get, whether it would be for additional seasons or even like a legendary weapon that's not the meta. I don't end up using it, but I paid to have it and now it's in that collection. So I think those are kind of the things where if you're getting a replayability out of something, or Helldivers, I like the armor that it came with. I don't always use it, but I would be bummed if I didn't have it. And I like that aspect of it. Either one of you feel like strongly, I should say, I know how you both feel, but like, do you take a hard stand on justifying the extra cost for something? Or for me, like if I'm going to buy a record, I typically try and buy like the nicer version of it with the extra shit, because I want to support it for a certain reason. So there's certain games.
Oh, you mean like that super fancy version of OK Computer that I bought weeks ago?
I guess.
$55.
I didn't know you bought that.
That I did. I sent you a picture of it.
Oh, I couldn't tell because you didn't show me the actual vinyl. You just showed me the outside sleeve.
Has 8 bonus songs on it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I generally... I'm generally against collector's editions these days, because it just feels like extra crap, and I've already got enough crap. Those shelves back there are full. I'm trying to think of like special editions of anything that I have.
If there's a cool statue of the character that I love, I will probably just buy like an actual model.
Yeah.
Not
that's fair.
Whatever they're producing for the collector's edition.
Before we get into go ahead.
I was just gonna say, how well do we think that Starfield collector's edition sold but came with the watch?
I mean, I think people who bought it, because I was reading some stuff online, I was trying to get like a gauge of interest on people like it that have it, of course, because they're sickos, but I haven't heard it panned as much as, you know, the Power Armor edition of Fallout 76, if that tells you anything about the quality.
Man. Oof. I just meant like as a timepiece.
Oh, I don't fucking know, man. I'm not going to touch that one.
If you call it a timepiece, you've already lost.
Yes, 100%. Did they pull it out of their front breast pocket? Here's my question. Have either of you enjoyed a game more because you had the collector's edition? Was there something you got from that made you enjoy that game more when playing it?
No.
Because I think having that extra story of everything that Bungie was going through, that was sure. when Bungie could literally do no wrong. And that was a huge deal for me of like, you get this thing, you rip it open, look at this helmet. Okay. You can't actually wear it. It's not built for that. But you still like, look at all these DVDs that are in there. And these discs have a bunch of really cool information and interviews, and, you're watching people, play the game and talk about the game. And as they build the game, this was long before you're getting like the 2-player productions or the or like the no clips and stuff like that. So like getting this kind of video at the very least, like you'd get articles, like Jeff Keighley was out there doing like the last days of Half-Life or whatever. In terms of like real video information about behind the scenes stuff for video games, it just really wasn't out there all that much. So having that big collector's edition of Halo 3 and getting all that stuff in there was definitely did enhance it for me and made me really, really excited about Bungie and the game and everything that was going on. So I'll say that one specifically was a big deal, but I'm trying to think of other ones that I've gotten. Oh, look at this fucking guy.
I do think there's been some access to certain weapons. When I think about Destiny, like usually at the beginning of a season, if you had a certain version, you would get some extra armor.
That makes things a little easier.
Yeah.
You're onboarding onto the
there's been some stuff. pretty cool guns that you get early on in some of those editions of Destiny that I would agree with you are super fucking cool.
And some of those specifically are really interesting, like the Quicksilver Storm one, that auto rifle before the launch of Lightfall, I guess, before they brought in Strand. So you have this gun, you think, this gun's actually really, really cool. And then eventually they go, by the way, we're going to upgrade this gun into a Strand weapon. And it takes on even more different properties than what you remember it having. And that was kind of a cool way of giving something to people early and then teasing them on what it could become later. I remember having a real good time with that gun and using it quite a bit, to the point that a lot of people were pissed of, man, it sucks that you had to pay the money to get this one gun and there was no other way of getting it. But it was an exciting thing at the time to grab that and play with it.
Nice. I got some stuff pulled up here. We're going to take a quick look at critically praised collector's editions. And I don't have everything here by any stretch, but I pulled some that I knew stood out. So if there's something that you don't see here that you think is worth calling out, and hopefully I don't have it down in the bad section, maybe we'll take a minute to talk about that one as well. But what you'll see is, like, you can also tell, in my opinion, looking at some of these things, specifically from, like, a few generations ago with the 360, it seemed like everything was a bigger statue. It seemed like you got a lot more that came with it for a lot less money. It's wild to
jack up the price.
Totally. So you can kind of see that unfold here a little bit. Like, you might even get to some situations where collector's editions don't even include the game. It's like bonus shit that you can buy, which is wild. I did it. I had to get that Mass Effect helmet. I'm a big fucking dummy, but all that to be said, Witcher 3 The Wild Hunt has been praised for its collector's edition. It included a steelbook case, a collector's box, a soundtrack CD, a detailed map of the game world, the Witcher medallion, a 200-page art book, and stickers. It is highly regarded for the quality and variety of its physical items. I think that's another big thing that people look at is, do I get a lot of things, and what's the quality of those? Because for people's, you know, enjoyment from what I'm reading, they might have remorse because the game ends up sucking ass. Like, a lot of that was at launch for Cyberpunk. The game sucked. All the shit around it was very cool. I would argue that Starfield had some of the coolest looking hardware to date from Microsoft.
You wanted that controller so bad, and we were happy to get it for you.
That controller looks gorgeous still. It's a beautiful controller.
If I had one of those Xboxes and wanted a controller, even though I don't give a fuck about Starfield, those controllers still rule. Like,
that game sucks, but really great visual design. The hardware's great. And I would say now Cyberpunk, people are probably really happy they bought those versions or have those things because the game is back up, but you get my point here. People can walk away from stuff pretty quickly. Also, I wanted to try and, like, when you look at some of these that are praised, kind of make note of what's there with it and maybe what is lacking on some of the ones we'll look at here in a little bit. Johnny, you called this one out. I'll have you talk a little bit more about it, but the BioShock 2 Special Edition included the vinyl LP that you called out. It also had an art book, 3 posters, and a copy of the game packed into a special slipcase.
Yeah. That art book is probably somewhere on our bookshelves. And my wife loves mid-century design.
Mm-hmm.
And so she actually was way more excited about the contents of this box than I was.
Well, this is Art Deco, not mid-century. You're about art 2 to 3 decades off.
Wow. Got him.
You knew what I meant, though. Thank you for correcting me.
You're very welcome.
And I actually think I like this more than I like the actual game when
I played it. Fair. Oh, BioShock 2's not bad.
It's fine.
The DLC is better than the game, but the game's all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's just better than Infinite.
Wasn't what I expected at the time.
I was also, around this time, very much, well, maybe a little bit before this, into collecting DVDs. So I was even getting swarmed into, like, the Criterion Collection version of a DVD and all that shit that gave you a bit of a cooler, you know, alternative case or whatever for it. But I thought this one looked neat. I agree with you. It was really cool art. You also had this one, Johnny, and this is the one that I remember being a pretty big fucking deal. If I'm not mistaken, you and I both purchased these with the idea that we would flip them.
I did.
They were going for a lot of money because they kept selling out. This is the Fallout 4 Pip-Boy edition.
And you know what it was? I decided, like, I'm going to get this. And if it's cool, I might hang on to it. If not, I'm going
to
sell it.
There's a way to link it up to the game too, right?
Uh-huh. But my phone wouldn't fit in there, first of all. Second, that thing felt like such a cheap piece of shit.
Yeah, naturally.
Considering the price tag.
It was probably more broken than the fucking game was when it came out.
You're saying that wouldn't live through a nuclear bomb?
Probably not, Chase.
The outside of the actual Pip-Boy, the addition included a wearable replica of the Pip-Boys we called out, allowing players to insert their smartphones and use them as a second screen experience. It also included a steelbook case and other physical items that looked like kind of an art book and almost like a Fallout. What's that mobile game they had? Looks like a kind of Shelter. Version. Yeah, Shelter.
Remember when all big games had to have a companion app?
Oh yeah, man. That was like a 2010 period.
Yeah. Yep.
Second screen experience. Big deal.
I think my favorite version of that was the commander mode or general, like whatever they called it for Battlefield 4, I think.
That was really cool.
Send in supply drops and stuff. That was
the best. Back to the Pip-Boy thing. I think somebody made it completely custom, like didn't use the Pip-Boy from this, but because those Magic the Gathering Fallout commander decks just came out and the Fallout set, somebody had like a Pip-Boy that held their commander deck, and so they could just take cards out of the Pip-Boy to play them as they drew cards.
That's a commitment.
Then, like the Twitter post said, like, I hope I never have to shuffle this deck or search my library for anything.
Oh god,
because I don't know how I'm gonna get all the fucking cards out of this.
God,
but it is a cool looking piece.
Well, Chase, I think you said you had this one behind you, but we're up to the Halo 3 Legendary Edition. This one was $70 at the time. That included a scaled replica of Master Chief's helmet. This is always called the Master Chief helmet for cats, where I came from. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And behind the scenes documentary DVD and additional in-game content, like a special multiplayer map and a special themed Xbox dashboard. That one was cool. I liked how you could put the games in there and slide the helmet over it. I thought that was really fucking cool too.
Yeah, I think the game is not in there anymore, but the definitely like the DVDs for the behind the scenes stuff is still in there. Maybe I should go poke those. Maybe I should rip those. I'm sure somebody's already ripped.
That feels like a thing that like Danny O'Dwyer would
upload. Yeah,
I mean those have to be like on archive.org too, I have to imagine.
We get to the Mass Effect 3 Definitive Edition. This is not the craziest Mass Effect Collector's Edition. That's the one that I bought. But this one was $79.99. It included a premium metal case featuring artwork of Commander Shepard, a 70-page hardbound art book, a limited edition Mass Effect comic book, a fabric and 7-patch, and an in-game content like additional weapons and armor. They also did things at the time where if you had save files from like Dragon Age, you had certain armor that would come into the game for the earlier ones.
Stuff I do like the almost like loyalty bonuses.
Those are really cool.
Hey, have you bought another game from our franchise or from our company before? Like, we'll throw in a little thing if we have that save data. Or there's like the really famous one of Psycho Mantis going like, oh, you like Castlevania in the game if you have those save files on your memory card.
Crazy.
Like that stuff I think is really neat, and especially in something like Mass Effect, like having those Dragon Age suits and other stuff was pretty cool.
Oh yeah. Except the helmets didn't turn off in dialogue scenes.
That's true.
They also just looked completely weird because you have all this super clean space shit and now you have this bony looking dragon armor on. Like,
yep.
Nah, I'm not gonna wear that. But
yep.
It's cool that I have it.
Yeah, totally. I just think they're neat. I don't know if I remember this right away. I think I was trying to jog my memory, Johnny, because they had a really cool version that I think was $99. I might maybe a little bit less of Breath of the Wild at launch. It came in a pretty large physical box.
Yeah.
This one. So this is what's interesting. At the time, I didn't have a PC. I was downstairs in our family room playing video games. I then built out my office at one point in time to have a lot of really cool collectible stuff in it. I have a version of the Master Sword that's not nearly as cool as this. I wish I would have got this one in retrospect because of how much I love that game. And yeah, now that I have a space that would accommodate it, but
there's a lamp that is made out of the, like the melted one for Tears.
Oh, cool.
I keep getting really close to buying
it
because it was like Japan only, I think.
This is one of those that did it came with, I didn't have to buy a case for the Switch because the one that I got did come with this. And I still think that's one of the coolest Switch cases. I got compliments on that
one.
Yeah. It's very fucking cool.
You know, speaking of Zelda, I picked up the collector's edition for the one that came after Ocarina of Time. What's the?
Oh, Majora's Mask.
Majora's Mask. Thank you. Yeah. The Majora's Mask collector's edition for the 3DS one, because it came with a little Skull Kid statue. And even though I don't love Majora's Mask, I love Skull Kid. I love Skull Kid, and I love the mask. So having that little statue was really neat. Worth it just for sure. That.
This one's a little bit more controversial. This is $99. That was the same price for the Mass Effect one that came out, where it did not have the game in it. But you got a lot of really cool shit in both of those. Like, if you are just a fan of that game and you want to have more swag for it, I think a collector's box versus a collector's edition makes a little bit of sense if you're like, you just want that.
I'm very close to buying
this. Yeah, man. This one's $99. It came with playing cards, maps, all kinds of cool shit, bandanas that came with this one. This is for Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm going to pick up the pace slightly here to get through some of these other ones. We do have Assassin's Creed Odyssey. This, again, was a very statue-heavy, came with a bunch of in-game deluxe edition packs. I think that these ones for Ubisoft kind of lost their luster with Ubisoft Plus, because all their games had that. So you just kind of expected it, and it became a bit more generic the more they packed in. They really flew high and crashed pretty hard, in my opinion, for some of their stuff. The one that was incredibly expensive, this was $270. This is for Final Fantasy 15. It came with a very good-looking replica, apparently. People love that detail on the statue. What was the
Noctis?
Thank you. CD soundtrack, outfits and weapons. Apparently the physical quality of what you got is top tier, especially for a pack-in statue.
I believe it. Like and Square has a lot of I don't think this is like a figure art statue, but they have worked with a lot of companies before that make pretty high quality statue stuff, because everybody wants statues of Cloud or Sephiroth or other shit like that. So they
totally
make sense that they would know how to find a good statue.
Black Ops 3 had the Juggernog edition that people really liked. This thing was $289. It came with a mini fridge styled after the in-game Perca-Cola machine, which could hold up to 12 cans, hot damn, along with additional physical items like coasters, collectible steelbook, and in-game bonus content. Wild. I don't know how I didn't. Oh, I guess I wasn't really paying attention to Call of Duty, but this is a thing. We're going to cruise through some of these unless you want to really pan on them a bit, but that Fallout 76 Power Armor Edition I made fun of earlier, this is one of the more prominent shithole situations that I can think of. Not only did you fuck over the people that brought your most expensive version, you lost their credit cards and their addresses like fucking buffoons, and then you shipped off a bag to them that was made out of what apparently was supposed to be wax canvas, ended up being some shit nylon. Elon Musk is what must have been paying attention, because the tent on the Cybertruck did the exact same bait and switch that Todd Howard pulled on all of his devout followers. So fuck both of them, and especially this fucking edition. They suck. This is really the downfall moment, I think, that really just fucking crushed them.
Yeah, well, I think that kind of broke the illusion for a lot of people on these kinds of editions to begin with, that you know, this one really felt like a bait and switch more than other ones had in the past, where it's like, oh, you know, we still got the statue. It looks like the statue they said. It just feels a little plasticky. This was, you promised a thing and it was not that thing.
And you also, they made up for it by saying, like, you also get 50 like Nuka-Cola coins or whatever it was in game. It's like, fuck you. Give me this back. That should have been included for the price to begin with. Colonial Marines here. This one had what just felt to be an incredibly cheap power loader. I don't know if I remember like hearing a lot about this, but I do definitely remember hearing this thing had a shit collector's edition.
Man. Simpler times.
Yeah, 100%. Also, this game was not very good, and that led to most people being very upset about the expense of this one.
It was a very, you're, that is,
I'm being too kind
just a little bit.
Yeah. Batman Arkham Knight. No. I got really close to it, but I did not. I don't think that price is right, by the way, that I have listed here. But this edition faced criticism primarily due to the manufacturing issues. Many customers reported receiving their collector's editions with damaged or broken Batmobile statues. The quality control problems led to widespread dissatisfaction among fans, and they had pre-ordered the edition, and it tarnished the reputation of what could have been a highly desirable collector's item.
Well, also, this was Arkham Knight, so this is not even the one people liked.
Yeah.
I don't think this is necessarily a bad game from what I hear, but it's certainly not as well regarded as Asylum or City.
I do think the Batmobile was really cool, but that was about it for that one. Yeah. Also, not to be the price is wrong here, but Mortal Kombat 11, I do remember hearing this. The Scorpion replica statue was absolute hot dog shit in quality and was falling apart left and right. This is a very expensive edition. I was just copy and pasting price points before I could go and get them. I don't remember what it was, but it was a lot of money for what you got. I mean, well over 100 for this one. I can make it up. Yeah, let me know what you find there. And then while you're doing that, Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
You can buy one for $900 on eBay
right now. Oh, ooh, great.
Ooh, what a bargain.
The edition faced criticism for its perceived lack of value compared to its price. The really big thing is here's that you got 9 inches of Adam Jensen, which a lot of people were excited about.
And I would love to get 9 inches Adam Jensen.
And better than 19 of Venom. But it would be something that people felt they did not get quite their value from what they were paying for with this one. This is still 2016, kind of getting into that period where you saw less. What's up?
$300.
Yep, $300 for that one. Yep, crazy. The No Man's Sky one is not necessarily because of what you got, but it's what they shipped at the time, and what they shipped at the time was not good. But much like the Cyberpunk things, I bet people who have that little ship there are pretty happy to have that, considering all the great things from Hello Games and No Man's Sky. Quickly, I'll just go through here. There's a few digital collectors, and I think that this is probably where most of us are spending our money these days. I mostly just went through and kind of called out games that started to swap out statues for armor, and not to be misunderstood, like the horse armor from Oblivion. You actually get some cool shit, as we called out with Destiny. The Elder Scrolls Online Collector's Edition came with a lot of gear for your mounts and your character. You also had Final Fantasy 4, which one was this? 14. When they first launched, the game was still not great.
Yeah, that did not go over very well.
It did not go over very well, but the goodies that you got with it, people seemed to like. So there was another thing that gave kind of some mixed media as well, depending on what you got there.
Well, this one says A Realm Reborn, so this was the reboot.
Oh, okay. Yes, Realm Reborn reboot. They did come back with a vengeance. I do remember that now. Thank you. And then World of Warcraft Shadowlands was called out for just, again, I think they've done this quite a bit. It's kind of their MO or MMO in this case.
Which one was nice? Which one was which one was Shadowlands? Where'd that come after?
Johnny, I'm going to default to you. Find out then.
I remember up to Lich King, but that's like the third DLC. So, third expansion. Okay. Oh, that's very late then.
Yeah. Destiny 2 was a big deal. This is the one where they were really pushing expansion passes and talking about more ongoing content. This was also a way to keep people playing those games. I think they've always done a really good job. Like, if you're into this game, you're going to enjoy what they offer when it comes to seasonal or versions. Like, I think they do a good job of making it worth.
Yeah, and Destiny 2, not very well loved at launch. No. That's when they went to the double primary system that people didn't really like. You had no random roles, so the fixed roles people really didn't like either, and they had to have a similar, like, wait until the Forsaken expansion, like the Taken King one from Destiny 1, until people really started to get on board with it again.
Yep. So the last one here is Borderlands. Again, they put a ton of shit in game, which people really like. If you're into this, you probably love it. If you're like me and Chase and Johnny, it's not your thing, but still, season pass, weapons.
There are two good Borderlands games out there.
Yeah,
even more if you count Tales from the Borderlands and some of those other ones.
Yeah, but, It's not totally without value.
Not Borderlands 3. Not Borderlands
3. Well, had a ton of fun hanging out. I know we kind of rushed through some of the actual imagery there, but collector's editions, I see them going to a lot of those boxes, if anything, but as consoles become more digitally only, I think we're going to continue to see studios pushing for early access into games, maybe betas, that sort of thing that comes with it. It's a very interesting time to be buying digital deluxes.
There is another one that's coming out relatively soon. That's that Gundam Breaker 4 game that comes with an actual Gunpla, a specific high grade that's in like special colors to go along with the game. But that's also, you know, being made by Bandai, the people who make the actual model kits. So they're giving you a real actual model kit instead of just a cheap plastic statue that you might get from other places. So that is pretty cool. I haven't gotten it yet. I haven't pulled the trigger on it because it does kind of look like a Baja Blast Gundam with the color scheme on it. But also it looks like a Baja Blast Gundam, which sounds kind of rad.
Cool. I'm go with God.
maybe. You know, I did just spend $4 on Summer House, so can't really afford it anymore.
You can't even get the other game. And we're that. You fucked yourself. And if you like that sort of bullshit where we just repeatedly dunk on $4, come hang out with us this week on Friday night, especially when Johnny and I and kind of resident hell diver Zoe will be going in to fight the bugs that fly now. They fly now, and that sucks really bad. They for can't us
fly. Bugs can't fly.
They sure can. That sounds like a bug.
I've never
sympathizer
seen a flying bug.
So we're going to deal with that, apparently. So, yay. But you can also check out our prior stream this week for Dice Folk, where Chase and I had a lot of fun going through that new strategy game. We got a quick look up of Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. We will have another one going up for Balatro. No, that's not right. It'll be Pow World on Thursday. So we'll have Pow World up on Thursday. That is what's happening with us. Chase, what's happening with you?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier, but I played some Balatro for Chase K Plays now that Stadium Brats is over. If you want to go and see all of Stadium Brats, that's there on the YouTube channel as well. But Balatro, that game's a lot of fun, and it's fun to record as well and like talk through the mechanics and why you might pick something or why you might throw something away. So that was a good time. Also, Pierce Corshane, good friend of our show, and I do another podcast. It's called Pilot Program, where we watch the first episode of every television show ever made. We finished up the A-Team. You can go listen to that right now at shows.acast.com/pilotprogram. And we're going to record a new episode, I think actually tomorrow night. We're going to be recording an episode for Shogun, the new FX television show, which so far seems pretty decent. So that should be a good conversation. I would imagine that probably gets edited and posted maybe this weekend or maybe early next week.
Awesome. Very cool. Thank you both for hanging out, talking to me about collector's editions. I'm sure we will all be buying more of those in the future. Maybe when a new Switch comes out, we'll have something fun packed into that for us to pick up. Tune in on Friday for some Helldivers. We'll talk to y'all then.